The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I want to share something tonight, and I'm starting a series tonight that's going to culminate in our church retreat. The Holy Spirit, I went out of town this week, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me real clearly. And I was surprised at how clear he spoke to me. I wasn't expecting it. I've been teaching in a certain line over the last couple of months, and this kind of segues in the direction I've been teaching. I've been teaching on speaking in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody cold? Yeah, cold. And but I felt the Holy Spirit lead me in a new direction. Anybody need a Bible? Anybody need Bibles? We have extra. Okay, if you need one, you need one over here? He's got one right back there. Jean, this lady here. Anybody else? Patrick? Right over here, sir. I felt the Holy Spirit encouraging me to go in this direction. Tonight I want to look at increasing your ability to perceive things in the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Increasing your ability to perceive things in the Spirit. You know, if there's one thing most believers lack, it's clear perception in the things of the Spirit. I have found that the majority of believers, frankly, are walking around spiritually dull. You know, like blind leading the blind, walking into the walls. So the Lord would have us to increase in discernment and perception. Hebrews 4:12, y'all know this verse. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, the Word of God is, King James reads, quick, and that word in the Greek is zoe, means live, living. Now, this is an incredible book. I want to say that first. This is an incredible book. I first started reading the Bible in the summer of 71. And it's still as fresh today as it was then. I read it every day. It's an incredible book. And I know it's God's Word. Do you know how I know it's God's Word? You want to know? A simple reason. I have more resistance trying to keep me from reading this than anything else. You know, when I would go out to have lunch, sometimes I like to, because I'm a voracious reader. I love to read. And I'll grab this magazine or this. And it's usually, but sometimes the thought, you know, I probably need to read the Word, you know. Do you know there's immediately this thing that's kind of like, no, you don't want to do that. That's kind of boring. You want to have a good lunch? You know what I'm talking about? I'm serious. There is a resistance to reading this, which seems to confirm to me there's something about it that's real and powerful. And it's saying something. There are demons, I think, that hover around your Bible. When you get near it, their little warning lights go off. I'm serious. Wow, 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 you know, and you get near it, son, you get sleepy. But it's God's Word. And it says here, it's quick and powerful. The word powerful there is energous, which means energy packed. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That means think about it. A two-edged sword is very sharp. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is like a laser beam. And they didn't have that back then, but he could say it has a laser beam ability to pierce past the peripherals and the surface and the superficial and get down to the heart and the meat and to expose, I think, everything that's dark inside, where the enemy dwells. You know, wherever it's dark is where the enemy dwells. Did y'all know that? Satan thrives in darkness. Wherever there's areas of darkness, he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. But he that hates truth does not come to the light and hates the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. It's perfectly analogous. If you've ever looked in your refrigerator, particularly true for guys, bachelor guys who live alone. You look in the back of the refrigerator, you know, and literally there are cultures back there. There are things that have been back there for so long. Huh? Yes, like a science project. Yeah, there's a farce out about Mayonnaise Gone Bad, they showed mayonnaise holding up the ketchup mustard. You know, mayonnaise gone bad, sorry. But there's, you know, these things back there, and that's how it is in our heart. There are areas that haven't seen the light of day for years, you know? And I have found, ministering to people, that Satan thrives in darkness. Well, there's an area where you have never been real or honest, either with yourself or with others. That's usually a nest of the demonic. When there's something hidden, when there's something that the Holy Ghost has prompted you, now you need to share that, or you need to confess that, and you need to bring that to the light, and you've refused to do it, and, you know, over time, if you harden your heart, eventually he'll leave you alone. He won't keep bugging you about it, but it becomes a stronghold of the enemy and a dark wall that the enemy lives behind. And suddenly, you know how you know that's there? Because the sharp edge is gone from the spirit. Whereas before there was a great joy and an enamorment of the things of creation and a simple joy of being born again and loving God. Well, you know, later on you kind of get lukewarm and you wonder where that joy is. It's only intermittent once in a while and just kind of live a humble. You know, that's usually evident that there's a stronghold where you've disobeyed God because you didn't bring something to the light. Are you hearing me? God said, confess that sin. Confess your faults to one another. Pray, but because out of fear of rejection or whatever, or shame, we hide behind the walls and we lie to ourselves. And once you lie to yourself, you've really turned the switch to deal. Because the more you lie to yourself, the more you give ground to the devil. See, he is a liar, John 8:44, and the father of lies. And wherever there's a lie, you're going to come under the jurisdiction of Satan. That's why Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth is free. And the word of God is a laser beam to go and search and destroy and expose those little tiny areas where demonic spirits are festering, where there are potentials for strongholds. And you know, it's very threatening to sit under the word. And I always admire people that can sit under this kind of teaching, laser beam teaching, because it speaks to me of a heart that really wants to be free. Most people, frankly, don't like this kind of teaching. They like just, you know, smooth stuff, make them feel happy and kind of get over their problems and, you know, make them get another week. But they don't like teaching where it just kind of rips them wide open, you know. And that's what this verse says. It says it's a piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints of marrow. It's like a picture of a high priest taking a knife and splitting open the sacrifice and exposing its innards to the light. In fact, the word discerner here is kritikos. It means literate, to critique. And it says here, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the light. You know, God not only knows your thoughts, he knows what you're intending to think. He knows your motives. He knows the intent of every motive. He knows the motive behind every intent. He knows the thought behind the intended motive that you're intending to think before you even have a motive to think it. Did you follow that? Well, he knows it. Psalm 139 says, before, lo, you're with me, there's not a word in my mouth, but you know it already. I mean, you know, God holds every atom together. Colossians says, through Christ, he holds all. You know, literally, if you've ever studied anything having to do with physics, which I did one summer, I took a cram course in physics. I graduated in engineering, but I'll never forget physics. I said, I'm going to take that as the biggest mistake I ever made. Because when you take a summer course, it's 4 hours a day for 6 weeks, and then I had to spend 4 hours a day in physics, in lab, just to figure out what the world the professor said the previous 4 hours. I took this course 8 hours a day for 6 weeks. And it was like, for instance, we covered Einstein's theory of relativity in 2 days. the study of harmonics in 1 day. 1 day. Oh, that was probably the worst summer of my life. But I remember studying subatomic particles. And one thing that was interesting about the atomic world is, what is it that holds the electron that spins around and then proton spins around the neutron? What is it that holds? You know, scientists do not know what holds that together. For instance, it's the same thing in the extraterrestrial sense. So what is it that holds the planets around the sun? Gravitation. Okay, what is gravitation? I know about the gravitational formula. But what is it? Nobody knows what gravitation is. Nobody knows. Did you know gravitation affects time? Did you know that it's actually, time is slower in the basement than it is in the attic? It's true. It's true. If the theory of relativity, I didn't think I was going down this road. If the theory of relativity was correct, the only static in the universe is speed of light, which means time itself is relative. But what does all this mean? What it means is, I don't know where I'm going with all this, but just bear with me. But I'm going to tell you this. What is it that holds the atom together and they can't explain it? Gravitational force is an unexplained phenomenon. Everything I've ever read, nobody knows what it is. Well, I'll tell you what it is. Christ holds every atom together. And that's what it says in Colossians. He holds all things together. And it certainly makes sense because in Psalm 102 and Hebrews 1, he says, and there's a day God's going to take the entire universe and fold it together as a man folds his vesture and puts it away. God's going to literally unhinge the universe. I think he's finally going to let every atom go. It's going to split. It says the elements will melt as a fervent heat. And then he's going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if God holds every atom together, you know, you got a lot of atoms in your fingernail, man. God holds every one of those together. You think he knows our heart? He knows that area that we're hiding from and not wanting to admit? You know what? Wisdom in the Word is key to discernment in yourself. Now, let me show you something. 1 Kings 3. There are a few things as sad as a believer who doesn't have a lot of discernment. 1 Kings 3. Lacking in spiritual discernment. Now, discernment and perception is what I'm going to be talking about. One of my favorite things to teach is about wisdom. The first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs all have to do with wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Seek wisdom with all your heart. He says, make her like, write her upon the tables of your heart. Keep her, love her, and she will embrace her. She'll keep you. He personifies wisdom. All through those chapters, the first 9 chapters of, he literally is all about wisdom. And then from 10 on in Proverbs, it's more about wisdom. And the problem is most believers are seriously lacking in wisdom. It's one thing to have knowledge. There's nothing to have wisdom. See, knowledge is what? You know, knowledge is what? Now, that wasn't knowledge is what, question mark. That was knowledge is what? As discretion is when, right? And understanding is how, but wisdom is why. Or how. God wants to give us wisdom. Now, Solomon, y'all know the story. God gave him a dream. Verse 5, 1 Kings 3. And Gibeon, the Lord, appeared to Solomon in a dream. Says, ask what I shall give you. Can you imagine God appearing in a dream and saying, what do you want? You name it, yours. In verse 9, give your servant. Verse 7, he said, I'm a little child. I don't know how to go on or come out. In verse 9, he said, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. Because who is able to judge? You know, this absolutely blew God away. In fact, he was so pleased. He said, look, I'm not only going to give you that, I'm going to give you everything else. Look, let me tell you something about God. The greatest thing that pleases God is if you seek wisdom. Y'all know the verse. If any man lack wisdom, what? He will give liberally. Y'all know the verse? And what? And upbraideth not. Now, look at that in different versions. I mean, God will not resent it. God will not correct you. God will not get upset with you if you come to him for wisdom. In fact, as he'll give you liberty, he won't get on your case. No, he won't go, well, about time. I've been waiting for you coming to ask for wisdom. No, he's got so much wisdom to give us. In fact, he's constantly trying to teach us wisdom. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is what works every day. You know what he uses is everyday stuff, situations and circumstances, to try to teach us wisdom. You know, the thing about wisdom is once you learn it, hopefully you never lose it. And most wisdom comes through what you go through. Although, let me tell you something. You don't have to go through everything. There is revealed wisdom. In fact, it's a good thing. When your wisdom is revealed to you, you don't have to go through it. See, God's going to teach you and make you wise. But if you don't sit under the anointed word or hang around others who are wise, then he'll have to teach you the hard way. And you'll have to go through it all. Can I amen? He's going to make you wise. It behooves the saints to sit under the Word of God, to live in the Word of God, to walk in the Spirit, to walk out on the edge, to be increasing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and revelation, so that you don't have to go through as much stuff. God doesn't have to allow as much stuff to hit you because you're pursuing wisdom. And that's really what those chapters are about, those that pursue wisdom. We'll see that in a minute. Well, let me give you the definition of discernment. It's to perceive or recognize, to make out clearly. It's keenness and understanding in dealing with a situation. Another way of putting it, discernment is the ability to see through things, to see causes, sources, and roots. Discernment is the ability to see through things. Remember, Superman had the ability to see through things, unless it was lead-lined? You know, it's like a tree. You look at a tree, and you see the trunk and the branches and leaves, but what is really going on under the ground with that tree? There's a root system. It takes discernment to see the root system. Same thing with dealing with people. You know, the only way to help people is you've got to have discernment to recognize the root system. A lot of ministries, a lot of the self-help stuff, just dealing with what you can see in the soul. But it takes spiritual discernment to really help people, to discern what's really going on under the roof. And if you look at Christ, Christ operated from discernment all the time. It says he discerning their thoughts. You know, like Nicodemus came to Christ by night, and he said, oh, we know you're the great this and that, and you know, you this, and Jesus totally ignored what he said and discerned right to his knees. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. I don't know what he was talking about, but he knew exactly why he was there. But Nicodemus thought he had to have this protocol of coming up with all this fluff, you know, and Christ just cut right through it. And you see, a lot of times Christ was able, and the Apostle Paul, able to go right to the heart of the matter. And I've learned a lot of times, and when I minister to folks, I like to cut right to the quick. In fact, my wife says she likes it when I'm in a ministry session with her, because we don't talk as much. Am I right? Some of you ladies, a lot of ladies invite me to ministry sessions. I think Beth did not long ago. She said, man, we're out here already? It's been 45, 50 minutes. Normally we'd be here 2 hours. I said, well, I don't know. Besides the fact that you're all ladies, no offense. What is it that ladies have 70,000 words a day to say and 6,000 and guys have 50 or something? But I've learned to cut to the quick. Because what I like to do when I get in a session with somebody, you know what I like to do first of all? You know what I love to do first of all? Let's pray. Let's just sing in tongues. Let's just wait. Let's just get still. Let's get quiet. I mean, amen? Let's hear. And then what you hear, you speak. Man, you can just cut to the quick. Get out of the soulless realm, get in the spirit realm. How many of y'all need discernment in your life? In your job? How about relationships? To see through what's going on. Now, here's another definition, the word perception. And the teaching tonight is increasing your ability to perceive. Here's the definition of perception. It's the insight or intuition, the ability to comprehend or grasp a thing, or an awareness to grasp things. Now, the problem is most people are limited in spiritual perception. Look at Luke 6:41. Most people are limited in spiritual perception. They don't have a whole lot of perception going on. They don't grasp things very quickly. They're slow of learning. Christ said this over and over. You're slow. You're dull of hearing. Slow to learn. Slow to speak. Slow to hear. Remember Jesus say, let these things sink down in your ears? His disciples were pretty slow of learning. They didn't have a lot of perception. He would say things over and over to them, and they just didn't have a clue what he meant. Because they kind of ran counter to their own preconceived notions. Luke 6:41. Why do you behold the speck in your brother's eye, and you perceive not? King James reads, you perceive not the beam in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me pull the speck out of your eye, when you don't behold the beam in your own eye? Hypocrite, cast out the beam in your own eye, then you can see the speck and pull it out of your brother's eye. See, Jesus is talking about what happens when you lack perception. You can become hypocritical. You can try to help others when you desperately need to help yourself. Right? You're out there trying to do for others, trying to speak counsel to others, and what's so silly about it is often you're clueless about your own deal. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have everybody come to you and they're trying to tell you the way it ought to be, and the whole time you're just kind of biting your tongue because you want to go, hello, because they are so, they're so convinced that they're called to help you, but they're clueless about their own need. Anybody here with me? We're given three conditions in these two verses on what's necessary to help others. Now stay with me here. Three conditions on what's necessary to minister to others. First, is you've got to have perception about yourself. He says he does not perceive the beam. You've got to perceive yourself honestly and openly. You'll never be able to help anybody else until you can look at yourself honestly, with an honest eye. As long as you're lying to yourself about yourself, a kidding yourself, a high mind masks, pretend to be something you're not, or, you know, walking around with self-hatred or this kind, you know, you're really limiting your ability to help anybody else. Love your neighbor, what? As yourself. How can you love, how can you give as long as you're worried about yourself? Like somebody said, well, I want to get in the ministry of deliverance. Well, you know, you better get rejection out of your life. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ho. You better get rejection out of your life. I mean, what do? You know, this person you've known for years and you've been friends and, you know, you're buds. You've gone out and walked in the house of God together in heaven. And one day you say, well, can I pray deliverance for you? And they're praying and all of a sudden this thing comes up and they scream curse words and spit in your face. And you go, I thought you were my friend. That happened to me bunches of times. This thing comes up, and then it goes back down. Well, you know, you better be delivered of rejection, amen? And recognize that that's a thing, and that's not your friend. Jesus. Whoever was listening to the tape just now threw it out the window. I said, that's it. That guy's nuts. Okay, the few of you that are still listening, let's go on. You know, this is a far more common problem, to be far more discerning of others' needs than your own. I'm going to say that again. This is a very common problem, to be really discerning of other people's. Boy, most wives have their husband take it out. I'm telling you, I get phone calls, emails from women. My husband needs deliverance. And I like to play him along. I'm serious. I had a lady call me not long ago. My husband, I said, really? Tell me about it. Well, he this and he that and he. I said, well, how do you put up with all that? I don't know. And so I said, well, we need to get him in and cast some devils out. You know it. I said, well, do you want to be there, honey? And I'll play with him. And I'll say, ma'am, I'm playing with you. I say, have you given thanks to God for your husband? What? Have you prayed and ask God to change you before he changes him? Usually by then they've hung the phone up. We're almost always far more discerning of others' things than our own. Yet ironically, listen carefully, this statement I'm going to make is worth the price of the admission. Did y'all pay to get in? Okay. This is it. Ironically, listen, this very thing can be the key to our own perspective. Because it's often what we're bugged about in others reveals what we can't see in ourselves. I'm going to say that again. You see, when you understand this phenomenon, the very thing that bugs you about in others is often the very thing you can't see in yourself. It's really interesting. The one who, you know, they say he doth protest too much. The one who goes on and on about people always like this, invariably that is in them. And they can't see it. And I've learned when people rail on me about something, just railing about it. Now, there's one thing, I have a fault. Come to me in a meek spirit, please, and point it out. But when someone rails about it and they're coming out of the flesh, usually that thing is in them. And I've learned to not get under that. And rather pray for them. Say, Lord, obviously, they're blind, and they can't see nothing but their fault and everybody else. And that's exactly what God does. He puts us in a house of mirrors. You know, a house of mirrors is everywhere you look, you see yourself, you know? And that's what the body of Christ meant to be. Everywhere you look. Well, it's just, I don't know what the deal is, but everybody in your church, they're all the same. They're all a bunch of just judgmental, critical, bitter jerks. I go, really? Well, I'm going to leave with you. Let's go find another church. Who's the judgmental bitter jerk? the one that they walk in and they bounce like bunny rabbits from church to church. They're always looking for the perfect church where everybody is like them. You know, in their mind. Did you get that? Let's reverse, let's flip that around. You say, well, where is it that I am blind to my deal? Here's the key. You ready? What is it you are most bugged about in others? What is it that drives you nuts in people? What is it, whoever it is, and it seems, and you always, that brings up the, in you. Hello? That's the very thing that's hiding behind a rock in you. Amen? And you say, Lord, send a laser light, split that rock and expose that, loop that rock. See what's under there. Get out of that! I learn all this in books, not from my experience. I've lived in community all my Christian life. Community, you know, this ministry is an interesting mixture. There really isn't any deliverance ministry like it that I know of in the USA. I'm sure in the third world. This ministry is a mixture of deliverance and community living. Because my background is Christian community. I've always lived in Christian community. Living with people. You know, when my wife married me, she married Christian community. Bless her heart. Y'all pray for her, will you? I mean, I believe that the healthiest environment is when you're around people that sometimes drive you nuts. And I'm sure I drive them nuts. And that's healthy. Iron sharpens iron. And when you put in that, the whole teaching of deliverance, suddenly you get revelation, clarity, and perspective of really what root strongholds are. And that's become really the predominant nature of this ministry, is God's using it to help people get free from root systems. Are y'all with me tonight on this? Said Randy, who's been in community with me for about 15 years. He's still got that demon in him. I don't know what his deal is. He has this demon that every morning he just has to read the paper first. I pray for him. But some mornings I get up early and go to the end of the driveway and grab that sucker because protect him from it. The second thing in these verses, remember we were talking about this, is correction. You must be willing to see and admit your own deal before you can effectively help others. You know, most people fall in the victimization blame game trap. I've written a book along that line. Victimization blame game. They just never cannot receive correction. The third area is you need deliverance. He says, look, you hypocrite, cast out the beam out of your own eye. Do you know the word cast out there is ekbalo, the same word for casting out demons? It's the same word. You cast out the beam. In other words, you need deliverance before you can deliver. You can only give what you got. Freely you've received, freely give. You got to get delivered of your own deal if you want anointing to minister to others. Our greatest anointing in the ministry to others is what we've been freed from. Amen? A woman who has been delivered from sexual molestation and the self-hate, the suicidal, emotional torment of that, delivered, becomes the most merciful, kind, gentle minister to other women down in that. A woman delivered from abortion. The horrible guilt, the sense of shame of abortion. A woman delivered of that has such a kind, gentle, passionate spirit to minister to other women from that. Get out of that. A guy delivered from lust and perversion, delivered of that stuff and no longer rules his life, has a lot of patience with others who struggle with the same thing. So you see, one of the reasons, guys, 2 Corinthians 1 talks about you're going to comfort others with the comfort that you've received. And God comforts us so we can comfort others in their deal. The reason God's setting you free is so that he's going to send someone in front of you that had what you had so you can give it away. And I found the best way to keep it is give it away. The more you give it away, the more you keep it. You got to give it away. You've got to talk, and if you've gotten free from something, you say, Lord, send somebody that's got a need like mine so I can pour my heart out and love them. And it cements it. I'm telling you, it builds a wall, and the demons cannot get back in there because you begin to give out where once you were needy. That's exactly what he means. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, for my power is made perfect in your weakness, in the very area where you were needy and weak and infirm, right, and in necessity, in that very area, you are strongest. It's a true phenomenon. When you take two pieces of steel and you weld them together, do you know what's the strongest point? The point of the weld. Where are we at? James 1, verse 22. So, the bottom line is self-perception is what it's all about. Clear self-perception. What I'm talking about tonight is increasing your ability to perceive things in the spirit. First, you've got to be able to see yourself clearly. Okay? And that's a scary proposition. Some people run all their life away from the notion of seeing themselves clearly. They bounce from relationship to relationship because relationships tend to be mirrors and they never want to get still enough to look at themselves. He says, you all know this verse, James 1:22, if any man's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding himself in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes his way and forgets what he looked like. Can you imagine getting up in the morning, staring in the mirror, and looking at it, you know, blurry eyes, and all of a sudden, oh my God. Oh my. What? And there's these spots in your face. You know, it's like, I never forget, I was about 15, 16 years old. I had a date with this girl. You know, Saturday night, maybe 17, I don't know. And horror of horrors, a pimple appeared. Come on. You've been there, and it's, oh, you haven't? And sure enough, and it's right the time there's this blemish in your face, and you're a guy. Now, women, they can smear this stuff on and hide it, but guys, and the horror, and this is when, suppose you look in the mirror, and you see this stuff on your face, you go, oh my God, ow, what is that? And you're freaking out. And you're looking at it, you're panic-stricken, you say, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? And then you get a sudden inspiration. Oh, of course. I was fine before I walked in this bathroom. I was fine before I looked in the spirit. The problem is not me, it's the mirror. So I'll just walk away. There's no mirror. I'm fine again. Is that what it just said? Okay, you take off running. You say that's silly. Oh, yeah? Listen carefully. People do that all the time, preaching to the Word. All the time! The Word's like a laser beam. They come to a meeting. The Holy Ghost convicts them, and suddenly they see spots! Oh, my God! What is all this stuff? I didn't see that in me. I thought I was fine. I thought everything was wonderful. Praise God! I can just claim it and name it and... Yeah. Demons! Let me! Yes, you. That man, when he was rebuking that demon, he looked at me. Yes. I can't stand it. What'll I do? And then a sudden inspiration hits him. Ding. Oh, of course! I didn't know any of this until I came to one of those Friday night meetings. I'll just never go back. Can I, man? See, I'm not the problem, it's the preacher. It's his tape. Brother, that felt good to say that, didn't it? Lord bless him, he needs to feel strong in himself. So you stop listening to the word, the laser beam word, and you judge. You see, it's not enough just to listen, to stop listening. You have to judge. You have to critique. You have to find something wrong so that when the conviction comes, yeah, but they're a sinner. They're not perfect, and therefore I don't have to receive from them. I only receive from perfect people. I will only submit to perfect pastors and perfect authorities. Hello? Nobody would say that, but that's exactly how people live. I'm looking for perfection on this planet. When I find it, then I'll join a church. I'll say, well, at that point, it won't be perfect no more because you'll be there. Now, I'm being a little exaggerating here, but my point is, I think you're getting it, is this is blindness spiritual, lacking of spiritual perception concerning yourself. You ain't ever going to get off first base till you look down the barrel of me. Look down the barrel of yourself. Look at yourself honestly before the Lord and your brother. It's not just the Lord. It's in your brother. See, people say, wow, I'm well open with God. Me and God. God and me. Us two. And God says, well, that's great. But whatever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. And he that abides in love abides in God, and God in him. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter, you know, a whole 1 John, a whole book. The whole book of 1 John is, don't keep looking up, look around. But that's scary, man. That is so scary to finally look at yourself. Particularly if you grew up under rejection and you hurt. So you built up all these defense mechanisms. And you had to convince yourself you're something you're not so that you won't have to know who you really are so you won't hurt. And it really hurts the root. Hurt, deep rejection. And particularly if you, like I said, if there's been abuse, particularly sexual abuse or some kind of self-denial of something you did, you crossed a line at some point and you denied and you rationalized, justified, and blamed. You don't know, but there's a nest there, man. And the laser beam light of the Word goes right to those things. It's exactly like a surgeon doing exploratory surgery. When they open up, they're looking for growths. They're looking for abnormalities. They're looking for tumors. They're looking for things that are not, shouldn't be there. Blockages. And they laser beam it out. That's what the Word's supposed to be. It's another Word. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray your Word would be a searchlight and search the deepest parts of who we are and set us free from the bondages of our own minds and souls. Because they're just a nap that gives a lot of times, Jesus. And we want out of our belly to flow crystal clear water with no obstructions, no dams, no beaver dams. By the way, I got a revelation on that once. Reading about these beavers building dams. It's exactly what demons do. They dam up the river. They stop it up. Well, let's look at a few more verses here. We're going to pray Proverbs 14:7 about perception. Did you know spiritual perception can help you avoid unhealthy, ungodly relationships? How many of y'all wish you had a lot of perception earlier in your life? You could have avoided a lot of pain, a lot of problems. Look at these incredible verses. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The list is, leave people when they're talking gibberish. Spiritual gibberish. Don't sit there and sit under that. Don't let it transfer on you. Go. Don't be a fool. A lot of times people will remain in a dynamic in a situation and they're being pummeled by unclean things and they just let it out of some false sense of trying to be nice. They're being slimed. You know what slime is? Surely you know what slime is. Have you been slimed? You know what slime is? Slime is when somebody comes to you and they've just been chewing and thinking and they're mad and they're mad about you and they're mad about something you did and they've just been chewing on it and thinking on it and ruminating on it and one day you just happen to look at them wrong and bleh, all over them. You this and you this and you're always and you never and you always and never. No, always and never and always and never. And you stand there when you're done, what do you feel like? Slime. And I've learned when the slime is coming, put up a shield. Say, whoa, time out. Time out. There's slime here. Time out. Why don't I go over there? Why don't all right, I hang up the phone or whatever? And let's talk later. Amen? Please, because if I sit under the slime, I am likely to slime back. Amen? I am not mature enough to sit under a bucket of slime without squirting some back in your direction. Come on. Who is? So please, have mercy on me. You know, people are often not what they seem. Hello? People most of the time are not what they seem. John chapter 2, the last verse says, Christ did not commit himself to men because he knew what was in men. You know, I can tell you, in the beginning of this ministry, I was so naive and clueless. I remember a guy came to my office back in the late 80s, and he sat down and he just said, Chris, oh man, the anointing in your life. And he gave me this little gift. He said, you know, God has just blessed you there. And he was flattering me. I'll never forget this. And I'm going, well, glad somebody sees, you know. I think I've had a couple of bad months, you know. Just, you know, my mother used to say, flattery feeds from an empty spoon. And the scripture says, flattery spreads a net. Well, this brother, let me tell you a story. He did this thing, and for about half hour he's going on. He just dropped these little things. I walked up to me, I remember thinking, man, you know, I didn't realize, you know, what God had done doing in me. I mean, just pride. Well, anyway, after a few days, the Holy Ghost successfully deflated that, as he's wont to do. He did. I was living with somebody, and it deflated rather rapidly. But do you know what happened later? Do you know about a year later that guy absolutely betrayed me? I mean, it was one of the most painful things. That guy betrayed me, and he tried to destroy me. And he was talking to me on the phone, and in a calm voice, well, very calm, was talking about how he wanted to destroy our ministry. And I remember feeling chills go down my back, and I thought, this is the guy. And then it suddenly dawned on me, what was it speaking to me that day in the office? That was a snake, man. The snake that later calmly, icily, was said, I'm trying to do, and it was, it didn't say, I'm trying to destroy you. Let's just say that was the gist of the conversation. That same snake a year before was real flattering. It was the same snake. Now I've learned. And how do you all have similar experiences? Come on. How do you learn? You go through it. You know what I mean? You go in naive, you know, and then all of a sudden you just, the face value, you just don't perceive, you don't discern, you don't see through, you just kind of, oh, well, they just did it. And then what happens? God lets you see. You know, one of the reasons God gives men wives is women have something called natural discernment. Now, I'm going to talk later, but there's three kinds of discernment. There's natural discernment, there's spiritual discernment, and there's supernatural discernment. Supernatural discernment is the gift of discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians 9. Spiritual discernment is 1 Corinthians 2. He that is spiritual discerns all things, but he himself is not discerned of any man. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. I'm going to be going over this next few weeks, really digging into discernment. Spiritual discernment is when you're born again, you have spiritual discernment. It can be increased. And we'll look at that in a minute. It's by reason of exercise. But there's something called natural discernment. That's simply discernment by virtue of the fact that you're a woman. There's something about women. They have discernment. They have eyes in the... And God gives women to men because sometimes they can see things in the spirit naturally. Remember Pilate's wife? Pilate's wife got a dream. And she said to Pilate, have nothing to do with that righteous man. Now, I believe, this is my opinion, and in the Word, I believe God was trying to speak to Pilate. But I believe Pilate was like any guy, a little bit harder to reach. So God said, no problem, I'll speak to his wife. And because she was a woman, because of the ability of natural discernment, she was able to speak it. Now, you know, there's a flip side of that, ladies. Don't get all boasty and puffy here. It's also the woman was the first one the snake came to. See, whereas you have a clearer discernment in the spirit, you have a greater susceptibility to deception in the spirit. And that's why a lot of women are into wackoism. That's why Jezebel spirits, most women out there doing the wackoest, prophetic, gaga, weird stuff is mostly women out there doing weird stuff. Who's that? Bo, what's that person? Bo has fun with these women because they call the church sometimes. Some apostle, prophetess woman called, and they'll go on and on. Bo says, well, tell me, what man are you submitted to? We love to say that. What? Well, yes, what man are you submitted to? I mean, just bring that devil up, you know. Well, because God has set men in to be over women, because they need to be under the authority of men. Oh, I love it. Say the feminist demon comes over. Women need to be under the authority of men. Remember? Under the authority of men. And wives are to obey the husband. I mean, it just brings us rah! Oh, come on, it's coming out the Tony Ox here. Come on, is that the word? Somehow in America, it's just totally, people don't see those Bible verses anymore. Do you know I was at a deliverance church once? And we're not a deliverance church. We're a discipleship church. But I went to a real deliverance church. All the women wore things in their head when they cast demons out. Yeah, when they cast demons out. That when they would do a deliverance, they would have these things. They would take this. And here, let's demonstrate. Let's take a bobby pin. Now, have you ever been in a session where you did that? Some of these women didn't. No, seriously, there is something about when they're dealing with a Jezebel demon. And the women put that thing in their hand, that demon, it just is a hate. I was in a deliverance session, the demon was doing all it could to pull it off the woman's head. It didn't want it on there. And the women go, whoa, there's a power here. More, Lord. I'm serious. Do you know the demons know things about submission authority we're clueless about? Feminism is satanic. Oh, that sounded good to say that. It's satanic. Well, you know, I'm going to have to read you the verse. It's not in my notes, and it's getting late. But you're going to have to follow me, because you say, "Where's that word? Where's that word?" I can hear that demon in your head saying that. Here it is. That's not where it is. Hold on. Hold on, I'm going to lead me, Holy Ghost. Yes. 1 Corinthians 11:3. I would have you know the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. And every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. If she should be shaven. For if the woman be not shorn, let her be. If the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. In other words, if you're not going to wear a veil, cut your hair off. But if it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, because he's the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Whoa! That Jezebel, Leviathan, feminist demon. Rawr! Look, I'm sorry. The woman is the glory of the man. The woman was created from the man. Do you know why God created the man before the woman? He didn't want to be told how to do it. I'm sorry, that's not in the word. That's just a joke. sorry. Lord, forgive me for that. Look at this. Man, I didn't think I'd read these verses. For the man is not of a woman, the woman of the man. Paul was on a tirade this day. Neither was the man created by the woman, but the woman of the man. Now listen, for this cause of the woman, now I want you to hear this. This is so powerful. I want you to hear this, joking aside. For this cause of the woman to have covering on her head, because of the angels. Now you tell me what that verse means. And I've been looking at that for years. He says a woman ought to have cover on her head because of the angels. And you look at the context of that. And there's only one thing. It's in a deliberate session. 1 Corinthians 11, the Holy Ghost revealed that to me. He said to me, when there is a level of submission and brokenness and humility on the part of a woman, when she wears this, it brings angels of power. And that's where deliverance occurs. Because God gives grace to the humble. And when a woman can understand the glory that she is in who she is, but in the right order of submission, there is something angelic that happens. Something powerful. And that's why in certain sessions when we're dealing with powerful Jezebels, I haven't done this in a while, because I hadn't been in those sessions much. Usually it's women ministering to women. Some of y'all ladies need to invite me in. Or you need to do this. Pull out the little things, put them on your head. You know, three women sitting around with this little thing in their head coming against this Jezebel spirit. Oh, you watch what will happen. angels come right up alongside. Are you hearing me? Do you see the context? Read it yourself. Where are we at? Proverbs 14:15. That was free. 14:15. Boy, I'm seeing a sermon in that. I've never... Angelic ministry through head coverings. Yes. We have a deliverance conference in Hot Springs in a few weeks, and they're graciously giving me the lead sermon, the opening sermon for the conference, and I was thinking, okay, how can I rip this thing open? No, I don't think I'll do that one, but I want to keep keeping there at least for half the week, you know. 14:15. Look at this. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man, you know, you need to be wise and discerning and perceptive. You know, there may be a wolf underneath the sheep's clothing over there. Amen? Jesus said, be wise. Wolves are in the sheep's clothing. You know, the answer is you need to learn to hang out in the Spirit. How many are more discernment, need more discernment and perception in relationships? Come on. The people come up, they seem so nice. I'll give you an example. Can I embarrass you, Virginia? I'm kidding, I'm not going to embarrass you. But can I tell the story about your car? I got to really admire Virginia. She, bless her heart, she's going to go buy a car, right? I know you bought it, but it was after you called me. She's going to go buy a car. Sweet Virginia. Nice, gentle, quiet, spoken Virginia. And I said, oh, God, she's going to be a sucker right there. You know, and she's going to go buy a car. You know, they live for ladies like her. Oh, yes, dear. Oh, you're going to have to listen. Come on, it's like a mechanic, you know. And anyway, she's going to buy this car. And so we talked a while, and I said, well, you know, we talked about how much to put down. I said, well, before you sign anything, call me. Well, she did. She called me. Was it last week? Okay. Well, last week, and she's sitting there with a cell phone, and the salesman can hear. I said, will you get this off the cell? I mean, the speakerphone. I said, get off the speakerphone so I can talk to you. So the salesman could hear in the background. I said, okay. He got on. I said, look. So we talked a lot, and I think you called me back later, and the salesman said, now look, if you don't buy it tonight, the deal's off. We can't give you this cut rate deal. And I said, right, that's it, Virginia. That confirms it. Guy's a snake, man. Do not buy off that thing tonight. That confirms it. The guy's going to sell you the car if you wait 24 hours. He's going to pick it. Can I have that? So I said, do not do it. So, praise God, she didn't. Well, was it the next night she came by? That same night she came over, and she brought the paperwork over. All right, and I looked at it. We went on the web. And it turns out we looked at the book value. And amazingly enough, the book value was the private party on Kelly Blue Book, the private party book value. That was legit. I said, okay, so far so good. Look down. Then we looked down, 1,500 service contract. 1,500. When I bought this Camry for Sherry, used, guy tried to stick it for the $500 service contract. And then they badmouth the car. You know, they're really nice and up-talk the car until you buy it. Then they badmouth it so you get the service contract. So they say, well, you know, you never know. Well, what do you never know? I just bought it from you. Yeah, but it could just, you know, you got to... I mean, it's funny how they do this. Bait and switch. So for $1,500, I thought, I'll tell you what, Virginia, the wise thing to do, well, is, you know, so it's funny. So she went back to the dealer, and she's playing off their card. So he did the last thing, and this is in their manual, and she's leaving the lot. He says, here, take it. You know how people, the dealer will give you the car for a day or two? Well, that's what he did. Take it. So she drives over with it. And I said, go tomorrow and have that thing looked at. Bumper to bumper. Check it out. And if it's okay, forget the $1,500 service contract. If it's not okay, you don't want it. So you did that, right? But you know how they do that? It's so sneaky. See, it's $1,500, but you take it out a loan. They say, well, that's only, you know, $8 a month. You see? It's $162, but just for $153 a month. Well, if we're not having $153, $162, you can have this. Oh, you mean just, hello. Well, let's read it again. The simple believes every word. The prudent man looks well to his going. I was a salesman for years. I never sold used cars. I'm doing that now. I am trying to sell my used car. But I'm determined to be honest. But I know about the snakes out there. The one time, tell you another quick story. There's a guy, I was in a French Quarter, Café Dumont. I was a sales associate back in the early 80s. And we were in there for a sales business back in a business meeting. And he invited some friends of his in New Orleans to go and have coffee and beignets with us at the Café Dumont. And we're all eating, had a good time. And at the end, he put down everybody on his expense report. Now, it was okay to put me and him, because we were the bit, but he put all his friends on the expense report. Okay? This is in 1982. And I remember seeing that, and I remember they felt this thing. And I thought, that's not right, man. Because I believed in being disarmingly honest. So, we're driving back from New Orleans, a six-hour trip to Houston. This guy's not saved. And I said to him, after about an hour into the trip, I said, can I tell you something? He said, what? I said, I'm not sure that was right, putting your friends on that expense report. I mean, you know, that was just, do you know that guy, he turned and yelled at me in the car? He lashed at me. He just cursed me. He said, you'll never be a good salesman. You'll never make it in this career. And then he was silent for 4 hours. The rest of the trip. Just silent and mad. And I remember thinking, this is, you know, I don't know if I've gone through deliverance quite yet, but this is where I'm going to be thinking, you know, I think I hit a button in him. Because I understood, was beginning to understand, people, by and large, are not very honest. People, by and large, are not what they seem. And you know, in Ephesians, it says we are to be the light and to confront the world. We're to be a rebuke to the world. We're to stand up for what's right. Now, ironically, when I got back, it turned out that guy ended up getting laid off. Now, I ended up getting laid off later, but got an even better job. But he ended up getting laid off, and it got probably because there was a bad spirit on the guy. I can see now. And the dishonesty, I never turned him in. I didn't think that was my place to do it. All I was trying to do was go to him and confront him about that truth. And he wouldn't hear it. How many problems could you have avoided if you had perception? Bad relationships, failed marriages, spoiled business ventures. Acts 8, a couple more places. You know, Peter operated a lot of perception. There was this great revival in Samaria. And Simon, who apparently controlled the city through witchcraft, he was a sorcerer. He ran the city through sorcery and... Is it Stephen or Philip? Philip showed up, preaching the gospel, casting demons out. Verse 7 says, unclean spirits with a loud voice came out of many, possessed with them. You know, I've found that the most manifested demons come out when there's been the occult behavior. When there's been sorcery and divination, that's when they are tremendous manifestations. Well, anyway, this guy, verse 18, he supposedly got saved. But when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered money to Peter. He said, give me this power, and whoever I lay my hands, he can receive the Holy Ghost. He liked it. He laid hands, and power came. Whoa, man, that's worth some bucks. And Peter said, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither partner right in this matter, and your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart be forgiven. And look at verse 23. I perceive you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. See, his perception, he was able to get to the root. The truth was the guy was jealous. And he looked through the sin, and he could see the real problem is you're bitter. Because you were in control. And a greater power came, and you lost your credibility with these people, and you want it back. And you'll never get it this way. So Peter was able to perceive, see through to the root. Hebrews 5:13. You know, this is a learned skill. If you're ever going to be effective helping people, you need to listen between the lines. Or as someone once said, you listen to the cry within. People can be saying one thing, but their heart is saying another. You listen in between the lines. Hebrews 5:13. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe, but strong meat belongs to them who are mature, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. God wants to increase our discernment. He wants to make us wise as serpents and harmless as doves, so that we won't get snookered anymore. You know, in Luke 16, there's a fascinating story about the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Some really strange verses there. But it's true. The children of this world are wiser than children of light. People in the world operate out of craftiness and deception and beguilement, and Christians by nature tend to be trusting. Tend to be, oh, praise God, we're all God's children. You know, pretty naive, but trust, particularly when you're young, you know, in the Lord. And Christ warned him. He says, you need to be wise. And I know that's the way I was, just gullible. In fact, somebody told me gullible wasn't written in the dictionary. I had to go look it up. Kidding, that was a joke. You know, God wants to increase our perception. I'm going to just cut to the quick here because I'm looking at the time. Proverbs 2. I'm going to end this. The head cannot receive more than the fanny can endure. That's what Bill Mel said. We're going to go to the solution. How do you increase in spiritual perception and discernment? How? Here's the answer. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you'll incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding. Seek it as silver, search for it as for hid treasures. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Here's the concluding thought, and I want you to hear this. There's only one way you're ever going to increase in discernment, in wisdom, and knowledge, and understanding, and perception, and the ability to see and perceive in the Spirit. And you know what that is? You got to want it more than anything else in the world. There's a proverb that says that wisdom is more to be valued than gold and silver. And all the things you can desire are not to be compared to it. You've got to want it. You've got to be willing to go out and cry out for it and scream and lift up your voice and search for it as for silver. And seek for it as for hid treasures. You've got to press and search. You've got to want it more than... If any man lacks wisdom, it's not just ask of God. Ask in yourself. Seek it. It's pressing in to God. You've got to want it more than anything in the world. And God will give it. We've been talking a lot about speaking in tongues. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest ways to increase in wisdom is two things. It's the Word and the Spirit. Speak in tongues a lot. Speak in tongues as much as you can. Turn the radio off in the car. Speak in tongues. When you have a quiet time, spend the first 10 or 15 minutes singing and speaking in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Then, after you spoke in tongues, open the Word. Open the Word and let the Word speak to you. Let the Word wash you. And God will increase you in wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. The last place, Proverbs 13:20. There's one other way to increase in knowledge that's even more efficient in wisdom. Last place, Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Here's really the key. The real key is who you're hanging out with. Hello? Who are you fellowshiping with? Who are you sharing your life with? Who are you intimate with? Is it fools? Fools in the biblical term? Someone that's obsessed with himself or things of this world? Then you're going to be like he that walks with wise men will be wise. Birds of a feather flock together. Whatever you hang around, that's what you're going to be like. Who do you associate with? God wants to give us intimate relationships with people of wisdom. God wants us to be under the authority of people who move in the Spirit of wisdom. And I just, early on in my Christian life, I told this story before, when I was summer of 72, I lived across the street from this high school in the fall of 72. In fact, I was reflecting that the other day. I thought, wow, it's been 30 years since then. I was living at this Jesus People Church, a bunch of guys in community. And every night, we would taught the word in the morning and the evening, 5 nights a week, 5 days a week. Every night, about 10:30, I'd unlock the glass door and I'd walk across the street. And I'd go, as French High School, still on Concord Road in Beaumont. And I'd go back behind the high school, and there was a track. And I'll never forget, I'd go to the back of the track, the running track, and there's a blue piece of woods. It's now all residential area now, but back then it was just woods, and there was a log. And I went to this place in the daytime, and I found this is the only place I could find in that area where I could yell at the top of my voice and nobody could hear me. I had to go way out next to this log, and there was this woods, it was this big field, and many, many a night, I'd go out there, and I'd look around, and nobody around. I'd say, God, I want wisdom! You see, because my pastor used to preach that verse, if you lift up your voice for wisdom, if you cry out for knowledge. And I used to do that. I'm serious. I thought, okay, I'll do that. So I found a place, I'd say, Lord, wisdom! Lord, increase the word in my mind. I'd walk around the track. Lord, put it in my head. Put your word in my head. I did that every night. Go back and sit on a whole day as a teacher, and the next night I'd be out there. Night after night, night after night. Did that for about a year and a half. Probably about 5 nights a week I went on that log. About a year and a half. Crying out to God. Those are wonderful times. Crying out to God. Lifting up my voice for wisdom. And then I come home, back to the church, and the Bible studies, and I would seek it as silver, and search for it for hid treasures, and take notes, and open my life. And I cry out to God. And you know what? God's not a respecter of persons. It's for anybody. How desperate are you? God opened the door. That church, before it hit the rocks, he told me to jump off. Hit the rocks, I was off. I was over somewhere else. And he just helped me, slowly but surely, help me to get to the point where I'm not as naive as I used to be. Praise God. Can see stuff. Discern stuff. By the way, Solomon says, much wisdom brings much sorrow. That's the truth. Do you know that? Ecclesiastes 1. You know why? Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why? Because he was very wise. Much wisdom brings much sorrow. You see things and you go, oh my God. You know what you got to do? You got to go to pray about it. You got to grieve. You got to work it out of your spirit. You got to intercede. But hey, that's kingdom work. Let's all stand. That's what it's all about. Jesus! Hello! Thank you, Lord! Thank you for your anointing, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I just pray. Take this word, whatever was of you, toss what was of me, whatever was of you, let it, like a laser beam, shine on every place in our heart and set us free, Lord. Increase us in wisdom. Satan would have us to be dull, hard of hearing. You would have us to be sharp as a tack, Lord. Oh, look, let's sing a song and then we'll have ministry. I feel that thing. It's blind. I know what it is. I kind of said this book. I said, look, it's pride. Leviathan spirit. Some kind of spirit being. Very angry. Does not want God's people to be filled with truth and wisdom. Wants, because he controls through darkness. He controls. He manipulates your mind and emotions. Through deception. Wisdom searches him out. Wisdom exposes him. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm discerning you, devil. I don't know what I'm feeling, but I feel it, my God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of deception, that spirit of intellectual control. I command you to loose these people right now in the name of Jesus. You loose their emotions, you loose their mind, you loose their thinking, you loose their imaginations, you come out of their imaginations. You deception. You've held them captive too long. Well, one of the greater than you is here tonight, and we strip you of your armor, and I command you, mind control, deceptive snake, Leviathan, you prideful spirit, you Jezebelian spirit, you feminist spirit. Come on. Take your power. Change your to leave these saints. Take it. Go. Change you to go. Leave. Now, I smash you in Jesus' name. Father, send the angels of God. Oh, okay. Okay, I just heard the Holy Ghost speak real clear. I have never done this in a meeting, ever. Ever. But the Holy Ghost just spoke to me. Women, how many of y'all want to be free tonight? Come here. Come here. I've never preached those verses before either. I want all the women to come up that want to be free. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. And put one of these on your head. Go out about, look, this is just saying to the devil, I'm going to be under the covering of the Lord. It's going to bring angels. That's what the verse says. Lord thought out about that most. I hope we got another box of these. Yeah, like, come on, one for each lady. One for each lady. You can use it later, too, when you cry. Hold on, I must have done it. But keep, put it on your head. She's got a shawl on her head. Come on. Come on, go out on my seat. Husbands, look at these guys back there. Don't go gloating and stuff. Back up. That's it. We'll break that spirit of control off the guys, amen? Listen, let me tell you something tonight. This is the wisest thing in the spirit. Did you see it in the word tonight? This is a warfare thing. Now put that covering on her head. Now I want you to put your hand on it if you have to. Now I want you to say this after me, ladies. You ready? Yeah, pull that off. Lord, lead me. Say this after me. Satan, I defy you. I'm under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman is not the head of the man, but the woman is of the man and is the glory of the man, as man is the glory of God. I accept who I am. I thank you for the grace, the power, the radiance, the beauty, the glory, the wisdom, the perception, the discernment, the ability to speak into men's lives, into where they cannot see. When I'm broken, humble, meek, and lowly, which is in your sight of great price. So Satan, I defy you and every spirit of Jezebel, every Leviathan spirit, every Kundalini spirit, every spirit of pride and haughtiness and rebellion, I renounce your works, I renounce your voices and my heart and mind tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, keep it on and look at me. That's what I was feeling. The big old fat Jezebel, little feminist demon. Yeah, you can't help me. It's all in the world. Hello? I mean, totally rules this country. I thought I just had 8 years of a woman president with her husband. It's true. Well, you know who runs the Senate right now? You may not know it. Hillary Clinton, in a lot of ways. There's a powerful Jezebelian spirit over our country. Thank God for George W. Hallelujah. And you know, his wife is a real model. She's a godly woman. And she's not out there pushing herself. She's just under his authority. You know, she has so much respect in America because of that. I command that Jezebelian, that feminist spirit, That voice of pride and haughtiness, and I take your power of these women. I change you to go. Change you to go. Now, take your power, go. Take your power, go. Change you to go. We smash. Take your power now. Take your authority. Take it in Jesus' name. Go. Change you to go. Go. Lord, come. Set them free tonight. Set them free. Go. Change you to go. Rebellion. Rebellion. Witchcraft rebellion. Manipulation. Witchcraft manipulation. Using witchcraft to manipulate. Whining, self-pity, control. I take your power. Take it in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Thrust it out. Go, Lord, whatever deliverance you're doing tonight, set them free. One thing the Holy Ghost does is expose the work of the enemy. Can you hear an amen? Now lift your hand, ladies. Now turn around and face the men. Now speak a blessing over all these men. Speak a blessing. Come on. Just from your heart, speak a blessing. Bless them. To be good husbands, good coverings, good fathers, good employers, employees. Bless them that they would be under submission. Bless them that the men would learn submission. To find their proper role. To also, the men would learn the authority they have. To not be authoritarian, but to move in meekness of authority. Speak a blessing. That the men would not be Ahabs and wimps, but they would be men. And they'd be heads. Not out of control or insecurity, but out of security. That Christ is their head, so they can lead a godly. Speak a blessing over these men today. Come on. Lord, I ask you to honor these women. As they have wearing this thing, you said in the word, there's something about angels, and I pray angels would be released over each one of these women right now, powerful angels of God, as they humble themselves. Now, Lord, let the angelic spirits go forth and bless these men with strength of character. Everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.